Mic'd Up, Our Women Entrepreneurs is brought to you by Scottish Edge and is supported by the Royal Bank of Scotland. More details on Royal Bank of Scotland's accredited support for women in business a little later. Hello everyone and welcome to Mic'd Up with me, Alison Walker. My second podcast series is all about successful women entrepreneurs here in Scotland. In this episode, I've encountered another type of business new to me. I'm in Glasgow to meet and chat with Victoria Nicol, who set up My Language Connection in 2017 and basically hasn't looked back since. So, Victoria, great to meet you and thanks for joining us. Rather than me explaining what the business is about, you know the business, you tell me what the business is.
Yeah, so simply we're a language service provider and we translate documents. We provide interpretation of the spoken word and we help our clients localise multimedia campaigns to create awareness of, say, a medical device into new markets or existing markets. Our clients are on really strong missions to help improve the quality of patients' lives. So what we do is we do the translation of a range of documents for them simply. So yes, we're an LSP. And we do translation, interpretation, and multimedia work.
And were you a translator?
No, I wasn't a translator when
so
I first started.
So I'm curious, how on earth do you get to this space from that space?
Yeah, great question. So it's an incredible industry, first of all. Like, it's very exciting, it's fast-paced. I'm quite a fast-paced person, so it was quite perfect for me. I graduated with an honours degree in management technology and enterprise, and I was really passionate about entrepreneurship and developing organisations. That's the modules that I really excelled in, and I knew I loved that. And ultimately, when I graduated, I knew I wanted to work in a smaller business that I could really learn from the leadership team, make an impact. And then I was offered a role as a sales executive and a translation agency. So that's how I started in the industry. And
what appealed to you about that?
Yeah. So it was working in a small business because at the same time, I really wanted to go into like a fast paced industry. So I was looking at recruitment and being offered a few roles in that area. But what appealed to me about translation is the fact that you can speak to so many different people on a daily basis. We speak to people in France. We speak to people in the US. We speak to people in Pakistan. We speak to people in the Middle East. You learn so much about other people, their businesses, their cultures, the languages that they speak. But it's not just about the language that they speak. It's about how that translates, like how you can actually help support them translate exactly what they want to say into other markets. And not only that, you can really, like, because I started in sales and relationship management, you can really start to learn about the different areas that people are looking to, you know, to develop in. You learn about their industries, you learn about their businesses, you learn about their goals, you learn their language. So it's not just the translation of one language into another, it's learning
the cultural thing too.
It's the cultural thing, yeah. Which I was fascinated about in university. So my dissertation was around culture and it was around the sort of centralization of customer centricity as a culture, not just as one function of a business. So I found that fascinating and I thought that would then translate quite easily into a startup, essentially a startup that's trying to develop and grow. And
so tell me about that jump then from being the sales executive to thinking about starting up a business.
Yeah, great question. So from the sales executive role that I was in, I was really ambitious. So I wanted to progress in a company and I wanted to progress quite quickly. So I progressed into management, into sales team management quite quickly. So I was then responsible for building a sales team, driving the growth, taking care of clients. That was my role. And then from there, in 2017, that business liquidated. So I was then left without
a job. Why was that? Because it seems like it was a good area to be in.
Yeah,
what was wrong
there? So there was a few things. There was like a change in shift in economy with Brexit. Brexit just happened at that point. So pretty much overnight, we lost like a couple of like key client contracts. I also do think that that business, like upon reflection, one of the main drivers that drove me to start up MLC was looking at the way that that business was ran and thinking, okay, if we just take care of our clients better here and we niche down.
So you learned a lot from that.
Learned a lot, lot. And then that we could then do things maybe better there. So that's how MLC was born. I learned a lot because I was part of the senior management team. So I learned a lot about how to manage a business and then the failures essentially of that business too. Yep. And I learned a lot about how to develop a strong reputation. And simply it is when you promise people something, whether it's a client or a supplier, you deliver. And yeah. you're ethical about it. And I think like the way that company was ran, it was such fast growth that there was little things that maybe weren't taken as care of as importantly as what they should be. So I recognised that and saw that in MLC, and that's intrinsically, inherently what we're about. It's really about, you know, if we promise something, we deliver on it. And we're really fair in terms of how we manage things.
Still a big jump from being an employee to start and running things. So, but it sounds as if it was fairly seamless for you.
Yeah, I mean, do you know what,
did you have any sleepless nights about thinking about this?
I still have sleepless nights. Try last night. No, but yeah, no, of course. Do you know what's funny? I was in GCU, Glasgow Caledonian University, delivering talks to students yesterday. And I went back to, that's the university I studied at.
Yep.
And some of the questions the young students were asking, it was very similar. It was like, how did you go from being a student studying business to then running a company?
Because how old are you?
32.
So, you know, quite young. 2017 you started
yeah,
this
2017,
up.
Yeah, 2017, yeah. I mean, really simply, I'm quite practical in my steps.
Yeah.
So, like, simply things like I knew that my clients weren't going to be delivered the translations that they were promised to be delivered with the last agency. And so,
and they were depending on them.
Yeah, yeah. 100%. Yeah. So from that point of view, it was a bit of a no-brainer. It's deliver, then try and then step in and deliver to my clients what is supposed to be delivered as much as I possibly can. And even though it wasn't my business and I wasn't responsible for it that way, I still felt responsible to our clients. And so basically that. And then also practically then just marketing, just then emailing and reaching out and calling then my clients that I'd taken care of for years, that I developed good relationships with.
Yeah, do the follow-ups.
Yeah, do the follow-ups, speak to them. And the orders it didn't just start coming in, because of course it takes work. But ultimately what we did was say, right, okay, we're a small business. Simply what we'll do is process what our clients need. I'll speak with them, and then we then invoiced 50% up front. And because I had those relationships, and we also had relationships with our suppliers, we set up that way and it started to grow quite quickly.
Did you see, were you able to see even at that stage the potential and a real gap in the market that wasn't being filled by anybody else? Did 100%. You think, why is this not being filled by anybody else? What's happening here?
Yeah, I just, well, 100% yes, but also see when you're at the early stages of something, and you'll know this, it is just a case of doing the job that you promise you're going to do and deliver, and don't think too far ahead.
Yeah, keep it simple.
Yeah, keep it simple. Practically just get the translations done, get the quotes quoted over to your clients, follow up, make sure they're happy with everything, move forward to then assign that to your translators, get the project done in time, get it delivered, essentially, simply that. And that kind of then snowballed from there, because people needed more things, because you started to build that trust, you show that you can deliver on time, and that you deliver with integrity, and you deal with things you promise and you deliver. So I didn't think too far ahead, to be honest, about a big gap in the market, but I knew intrinsically that the way things were done at the last agency, there's things that I wanted to make better,
improve on.
Yeah. So I didn't think too far ahead at that stage. And then as we continue, but I've always had a business brain, you know, it's my background. I did MTE, so I know how to do pest ale, SWOT analysis, write a business plan and such likes there.
Did you set, when you were a wee girl, did you set up like a wee shop in the house and have a till and everything?
Yeah. And also when I was a teenager, we washed cars. So like we went round like the local, I'm from a small village called Skermerly. So it's like down the west coast. So everybody knows everyone. So we'd go wash cars and we'd do anything that we could, like to then get a bit of extra pocket money and things there. So just from that, I think it was, yeah, something that I'd done.
And then as you got a bit older, do you think one day I want to run my own business? Did you ever think that?
Yeah,
you did think that.
There was a point, see, when Worldwide Business, like that's the last agency I worked at, wasn't doing so well. That was the point where I was like, oh, could I take this and do it myself? And I kind of voiced that to a few friends, and at the time my ex-partner had said, do you think this is something I can do myself? And they're like, 100%. And there was that, I remember sitting there, like, speaking to some of my team, and the nerves that I felt about it, because I was like, this is the thing that I want to do. But I was like, can I do it? But I was like, this is what I've always wanted to do. And I kind of knew that, but I was frightened.
Well, it's a massive step. Uh-huh. You know, it's a massive responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's not just a case of then fulfilling an order. You are taking that, okay, the ownership of this is your business. This is your responsibility. Yeah,
you're accountable.
You have to make sure your suppliers are paid. You have to make sure your clients are happy and things.
What about your family? What about your parents? And what did they think at that stage?
Yeah, they were supportive. But my mum, at points I went back to live with her because, you know, ultimately in the early days of the business, it wasn't making a huge amount of money. So it was kind of like I was young, back to my mum's.
Save up
for the first property. And basically she used to see how stressful it could be at points. And of course it's the conversations you're having one-to-one with your mum. And she would be like, she would say, just give it till Christmas. As in, you know,
like short-term targets.
But then also if I couldn't do it and it was just too stressful, you know, just quit. You know, and she just wanted the best for me. But I kept on saying, no, I can do this. I've got responsibilities. I can do this. And she did believe in me, and so did especially my dad did. And yeah, they were really like super supportive, essentially. Like the whole way through, they still are.
Well, they must be so proud of you now. My goodness.
Yeah, it's normal to them now. Yeah. But yeah, they are, definitely. They are proud. So it's... they're like, my dad's quite entrepreneurial. Like he built my family home and such like. They've always been between jobs, my mum and dad. So I've not come from like any sort of wealth or anything there. It's quite middle class background. But because of that, my dad's always been a grafter. And he's always been
That's been instilled in you too. Because if you work for yourself, you graft more than you would otherwise. That's an absolutely kind of essential characteristic. Was there a point, you know... Well, tell me about Scottish Edge, and because that you applied for that funding pretty much early doors, didn't you?
2019, so 2 years into the business, went for that. It's quite funny because when I first heard about Scottish Edge, I heard of it from the old owner of the old co-working space that we were in, Collaborate, and she told me about it because she knew that I was looking to raise like some funding for the next level of growth of the business. And I thought at that time, I don't know about pitching in front of a stage and room full of people, and I'm not sure about that. But there's so much attraction around Scottish Edge when you are a young entrepreneur and business owner. And at one point I thought, right, we're going to go for it. And so, yeah, in between the day-to-day servicing our clients, ensuring that we've got enough then like cash flow and such likes there. At that point I had two team members. So they kind of helped me run the day-to-day whilst I focused on that a little bit. And it was just a case of like completing the application and such likes at night, getting that done. But I loved it. Like there's a lot of good stuff. Scottish Edge gets you to really think about your business and think about your long-term strategy and goals and vision. And it also gets you to reflect on how much you've actually achieved and what you've done so far.
Gives you some confidence and reassurance too.
100%. Yeah. Like it's so invaluable.
And do you think that's more important for women, younger women or women universally to have that encouragement and support?
I think it's important for all young people to have that encouragement and support, like women and men, but I think inherently women maybe don't believe in themselves as much as what they should do actually, and ultimately that gives you that kind of validation, hey, you are on the right track, you are in the right direction. It just validated again that we're on
track. That must have felt amazing.
Great on that night I'd got my best friends from university and we were sitting in the crowd waiting. You don't know whether it's the winner or not yet, and he's giving a bit of introduction. And somebody looked at me, one of my friends looked at me and said, "That's you, that's you." And I was like, "Yes." And then he announced it.
He does the big build up
and he announces. So it's that elation and it's that validation that you are on the right track. They're so supportive, like, of small businesses. They really encourage you. Ultimately it meant a cash injection into the business, so simply you can then buy the technology that we needed to buy at the time, which is a CAT tool that we needed to start building up our translation memories for our clients, which is a key thing for continuity of service, quality, accuracy of translations. And it also ensures that you've got that kind of tool for them, so you've got that kind of longevity and relationship because you're building that as you go.
You talk about technology there, but I guess it's still quite an important human element to the business in terms of the translators. You still need human translators.
Everything in our business is human. So tech supports us to be more efficient. Yeah. But everything is human because of the quality. AI is a big disruptor for our market. but AI is not at the level that can give that thought where you have to construct document A in this language to document B
in
this
language. Do you see that changing?
I see it disrupting and continuing to disrupt, but not at the rate that I think a lot of people think it's already at. So a lot of tenders that we're getting invited to submit a tender now are asking for AI as a, you know, as an essential, but they're not stipulated as to how that AI should be used. So AI, yes, is great, but it can only do things like generally translate a text.
So it's basic.
Very basic. And it doesn't give the correct like meaning. So for example, we tested it recently and we did all the translations for the NHS COVID-19 explain campaign on behalf of our client Magpie and behalf of NHS England. So we did a test where we took the Bengali and back translated the Bengali using chat, because you can't translate it using Google because Google doesn't have Bengali yet. And then it took, so basically the English source said, to minimize the spread of the COVID-19 vaccine, put your hand over your mouth to stop droplets then dispersing into the atmosphere and other people obviously inhaling. So the way that this translated that, it had the context there, but it said, put your hand over your mouth to stop the tiny lizards dispersing. That's what it said. So that's an example, an actual practical example used as part of our Change for Good series and why language is so important for equality. Because if you don't translate effectively, you're creating barriers for people.
Yeah, and it's interpretation as well, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's dangerous for patients if you're not getting an accurate...
It's not as specific. Yeah, the detail is important. The
detail is very important. It was in the BBC recently as well that not having an interpreter who can actually translate for a patient was actually then contributing to the patient's death that could have been reduced and minimised or completely might have not happened if they actually had a qualified interpreter.
What about that period during COVID? That you know, a lot of, obviously damaged an awful lot of businesses, but it seems as if maybe your business indirectly benefited from the COVID pandemic.
Yeah, we grew 100%, which came with its challenges as well, because ultimately what you're trying to do is take on new staff, engage a team, motivate a team, but it's completely online. You're trying to train, but it's all online, and we never did that. So we had to adapt quite quickly to bring in then enough people to facilitate the amount of projects that we were getting in at the time. So we diversified and we adapted, and ultimately we grew. But it was tough. For me as a leader, it was tough because I like being around people, like our team being together. Like we're a small team here.
You're a people person. Yeah.
And we, like most of these guys are too, some of them like they like to be on their own to do quality checks and such things there. But most of us are all together. And it's like for a small business, it's so important. Your team really has to be together to come up with like creative campaigns.
Like bounce off each other too. You can't get to do that online in the same way. You need to be in the same room, don't you?
Yeah, 100%. So that's kind of, during COVID, it was tough because we grew, but at the same time we grew. We didn't have to furlough any of our people. We grew and we had kept our people in work, essentially. And whatever our clients needed, we were there.
So how many people do you have? I mean, we're inside your offices in Glasgow and there's several rooms and there's a team here and I can see people across the corridor. How many do you have?
10,
at the core of it?
10 at the moment. Our core are 10 at the moment. So subcontractor network's bigger. We've got 1,600 on our subcontractor network, our translators. So we scale up and scale down.
Is that all over the world?
All over the world.
Right.
Yeah. Some of these guys are amazing. So for example, we've got a Spanish linguist called Acer, and he's been with us for years, and it blows your mind how quickly he can work, but also the level of quality he maintains. And he's just very good at what he does. So,
and these guys all work from home in their own countries.
They all work from home in their own countries, yeah. So they're all some of our team, they were linguists before they started with us. So Chris there, just walking in, he studied linguistics. He's got a master's, and then Daniel and Harry, they're master's educated in linguistics too. So they understand linguistics, they can translate themselves. It's a skill where you have to be like at a computer and like headphones in or complete quiet and just read the source document and translate that into Target to ensure that you've captured that same meaning.
You're setting up another office now in Dubai. If you can do everything from here, why would you set up an office in Dubai?
Because certainly, so you can do everything virtually. However, for certain contracts, they would rather that you have a boots on the ground presence and they have an office that they can visit to then talk about their projects that you can go out and present to them.
So it's mainly, it's for meeting clients, really.
For meeting clients.
Essentially, so they can get to know you. Rather than, yeah, which makes sense. Which you would, appeals to you, obviously. I work for myself and I'm freelance, so I've got a bit of an idea about running business for myself. But at the same time, they all say don't grow too quickly because you've got to, growth should be steady as opposed to jumping because you can walk before you can run. But things have just almost opened up for you as you've gone along, haven't they?
Yeah, I think I've been quite strategic about the opportunities that I look at and like quite focused on what's actually going to be useful for us as an agency and that we place our efforts on that. And I've trained that with the team. Yeah. So we are like super helpful and we accommodate, we're responsive. We're also very focused on things like targets, numbers, success trackers, all the intangibles and tangibles. We report in those weekly. My managers report to me in those weekly. So we are super goal focused.
Where does that come from?
I think it's about making, like, when you've been through hard situations, right? So every business owner is like ran out of cash and you've had cash problems. You've had to have difficult conversations with people.
Have you had that?
Yeah. For 1 month, it went on for, and I spoke to my suppliers about it, and that's it. Like, ultimately, then it was like, okay, like, we are getting funding in here, or we're getting something that's going to bridge cash flow. So whilst we're waiting on an invoice payment, we're going to get something that we get cash into the business and we can pay our suppliers, because we are not going to be that agency that says, sorry, we've not received payment from our client, therefore you don't get paid. Mm-hmm. You don't get paid. It's not how you build a reputation and long-term business relationships. That's what I truly believe. So ultimately, that's something that I learned and that was hard. So the reason I am strategic and I am meticulous about it with the team and with what we do is because we've learned from the failures that we've faced, cash flow and such likes there. And maybe not winning everything that we want to win with clients, you learn from that rejection, that failure, and that's what makes you more strategic. So certainly I think that that's where that comes from, and we're not naive, we're not, we are focused on what we're doing, essentially, and we know how to be focused, and we've got a good team, and we're still growing, I'm still learning, we're still growing.
Yeah, where would you like to see the business going? What's your, I bet you've thought in the next 10 years, I bet you've thought of all of that.
Yeah, I get excited about that. I get told, because I've got an advisor too, so he kind of like reins me in a bit and tells me like not to. In the next, I'd say like definitely we've got sights in the next 5 years. Like what we're doing, like over the next year, immediately just now, like we're focused on growing revenue, but we're being really quite like focused on things like what do we do really well for our clients and what can we do that same level of service for more clients within those sectors and what more can we be doing for our existing clients, because there's so much when it comes to language. It's not just about translations. It's about things are evolving constantly. Technology's evolving, our clients, technology's evolving. How can we make sure that our integration with theirs is seamless? We're going to focus on revenue by improving what we're doing, quite simply, like really looking at how we can service our clients better and growing within the areas that we know what we're good at and that we can provide really high quality service and translations simply. So that's kind of like the key thing just now. And we're growing our team at the moment. We're hiring for people and we've just then made offers to a couple of new people that are going to come on and join the team within the relationship management side of things. So that gives our team more pairs of hands, because right now we need a bit more pairs of hands.
Would you say you faced any particular challenges from when you started and growing the business as someone who was so young starting a business, and also as a female, any particular challenges that you faced? Did you think that was ever an issue for you?
Yeah, I think it's always going to be an issue. I don't think it will continue. Well, I don't think it's always going to be an issue. I think it always has been a bit of an issue, but I think it's how you adapt it, if that makes sense. So I think it's how you acknowledge. And also I think it makes you work harder, because people underestimate what you can do and it pushes you to do a better job, essentially. But I also see my worth now, like as a woman and as a leader and such likes there. And I won't, if I'm in a room and I think it's just there's opinions that aren't great opinions around women or anything, I'm not going to stand for it. I'm going to challenge it. And I have done that at different, different times in my career.
And for young women, perhaps listening to this, thinking of starting up their own businesses, there's a confidence and a fear element there that still exists amongst young women, even if they've got the great ideas.
Yeah, exactly. There is.
And
there
how is. How do we tackle? I guess you feel you have to play your part in 100%. Supporting that.
Yeah.
You've won a few awards over the years. I mean, what was it like to receive those? What tell us what you've won.
So I won 2022 the Women's Awards. So I won Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award, and that was cool. And then last year we got shortlisted for Young Business Leader of the Year with Glasgow Chamber of Commerce, and shortlisted for Growth Business of the Year with Women's Enterprise Scotland. I won the Young Leaders, Young Leader of the Year Award with Glasgow Chamber of Commerce, which was just great. I had a vision when I first started up, and I was on my own, because I was on my own a lot in the early days, and it was, you'll know this, like, it's very lonely. It really is. Like, so one of the reasons I really want to build a team is because I was lonely.
But it's part of that.
It's part, you want to be part of a community, a good community, and you want other people to feel like they're part of a good community. And so my vision that I always had was having an office where we had music on and we had a bit of fun, and there was a lot of pressure. We're all kind of staying late and eating pizza to hit deadlines. And that's what I genuinely had in my mind's eye. So one of the reasons when I left the co-working space, I said to the owner, because I'm still really close with her, I said, I'm leaving because I want to have a space where I can grow the team and have music on and things. And she always kind of slags me off to this day about that.
She's and you've got
your music, yeah.
I'm not hearing any music.
So everybody's got their head down today. So it's not everybody's bag. Some people get better concentration when it's quiet. So it was to get the full team, because the full team, we took the full team with us to the last awards for the last two awards, and we all sat together, and I'd taken some of my suppliers. Some of my suppliers were there. The full team were there, and they were all we never got to do this, with our last businesses, we feel so part of this. And I was that's because we're all part of this. It's not just me winning this title. It's yes, this is great, but it's coverage for us all. It's a team.
Yeah, it's benefiting everybody. And that's all bonding, isn't it?
It is. It's terrible.
Just I know we've talked for a long time. I could talk to you for ages, but two more things. Do you ever switch off? Do you ever find time to think, I need to get away from this for a while, and what do you do? Because it's really important you do that.
Yeah, 100%. In the early days, no, didn't switch off, burnout, but not good. Christmas time. So Christmas time is when I switch off and I take 2 weeks out, and I focus on my goals. I've got lots of different models. So I reflect back, I do reflection work, I set up the goals, and then I do the business. I do the business plans. I look at my personal goals, and everything kind of is holistic. It ties all in together for me. So actually, I switch off when I need to switch off. When it's time, I'll switch off, and I do try and work to take a holiday at least once every few months. But I see the business and what I do, because it's personal. It's when you are the founder.
Because you love it, and you want to do things you love. So
you actually really enjoy it. Next week we're going to Arab Health, and what a wonderful opportunity. We're going to Dubai, we're going to go out, we're going to meet loads of clients, and some of our existing clients, some new. And I love talking to other business owners, and I've got some friends over there that are running great agencies over there, so I'll go see them. And so it's mixing that together is actually quite an amazing thing, because you still get creative, you get a switch off, you get creative. You're still then achieving things for the agency.
Environment as well, different environment. But in terms of the physical side, I mean, is it running? Is it cycling? Is it? Because all of that, healthy body, healthy brain, everything's better.
100%. I can leave my team, and I can leave them for a good few weeks. I've never done a few weeks, but I can leave them for at least a couple of weeks, and everything's absolutely fine. It runs. Everything's set up to run absolutely. The systems are set up. Our people, our processes, technology, everything's set up in a way that it can run without me being here all of the time. But I like focusing on growth, and I like to be here as part of it.
And they know that, and they're understanding, yeah. And I have some great
and they know what you're like anyway.
They do, so I would have a great time. So.
If you would just sum up why you love working for yourself, running your own business, what would be the key things you'd say why you do this?
You're definitely a bit of a masochist, aren't you, when you're on your own business?
For me, I'm just nosy. I like to know about everything that's going on. That's why I became a journalist. So.
Yeah. It's that curiosity, isn't it? It is that curiosity. Like, I get to still be involved with our clients and learn, like, what they're doing and what their goals are. And I like that curiosity part of it. I get to be involved with my team. I also, like, I love a challenge. Like, I love being like, right, how are we going to get from here to here? How are we genuinely going to do that? And sort of, like, helping the team understand their potential and, like, leading us to that next part. And
you've got a very old head on young shoulders.
Do you know, one of my clients said that too.
You think you were about 92 here because you've got so much knowledge and experience that it just seems to have absorbed in your head really quickly and you get it.
Yeah, I hope well. Maybe I do and I don't. But I don't get everything. Like, I definitely don't get everything. I like to develop myself a lot. Like, probably you're the same. Like, and it's almost like, see me talking to all these different amazing people, I learn so much as well. Like,
but that can be overwhelming too.
Yeah.
It can be too much sometimes. Yeah. Do you ever have those?
Yeah. Like every Friday night.
The business doesn't stop while we're in here chatting. So
get back to it.
Thank you very much for taking the time out, Victoria. It was fantastic. And you know what, a business, and all power to you. And
thank you very much.
Keep it going. I will watch what happens in the next stage with interest because sounds as if things are just going to continue to be amazing.
Thank you. I hope so. No, definitely. We're working to it anyway. But thank you so much for having me today.
Great to talk to you.
You too. Thank you.
Our Women Entrepreneurs is supported by the Royal Bank of Scotland, providing accredited specialist support for women in business today and every day in the form of free help, expertise and guidance. Whether you want to chat with one of the local enterprise managers, are interested in the Accelerator programme, or would benefit from a mentor session on the Women in Business mentoring platform Mentor Match, go to rbs.co.uk/business and search Women in Business to find out more. Meanwhile, keep an eye and an ear out for the next episode of Our Women Entrepreneurs on Mic'd Up, coming soon. Thanks for listening.